fact that I am a member of the Che Lumumba Club, the Communist Party, the fact that I'm a black communist is very symbolic in this case. As a communist, I have to demand radical change. I see that capitalism does not possess the flexibility to allow for the solution of the basic problems which confront us today. Exploitation of workers, super exploitation of black and brown workers, which means high rates of unemployment in our community, and thus bad housing, atrocious living conditions, bad education. Now, capitalism, of course, can allow for a little tokenism. The government, as it is shown, can subsidize a few people in the black community and call that black capitalism, but they can't create jobs for our people. And they're resorting to fascist techniques more and more, fascist techniques of suppressing our rightful demands. Now, I maintain that only under a socialist reorganization of society can we even begin to deal with these basic material problems. To say nothing of eradicating the individualistic, competitive, racist mentality of the people in this country. Only after, I feel, a redistribution of the wealth in this country, only after we eradicate the exploitation of man by man, can we begin to build a humane society, both for black, brown, and white people. Now, I think it's significant, as I said before, that the Regents chose me as a target of their attack. I think it's symbolic, because black members of the Communist Party are far, far from being the only black people who are beginning to see that this society must be thoroughly transformed if we're going to solve these basic problems. All over the country, black people, Chicanos, white people, everybody.
Hello, I'm Gil Noble. Today, Like It Is, we'll present an exclusive interview with Angela Davis. The interview was conducted by her lawyer, Margaret Burnham, while Angela was being held here in New York at the Women's House of Detention. It was arranged by Joe Walker, the New York editor of Mohammed Speaks. This is the first public broadcast of it in its entirety. The questions for the interview were arrived at through a poll that was taken by Mohammed Speaks to find out what black people in Harlem were most interested in asking Angela if they had the opportunity to talk to her. The original 20-minute interview was conducted by Miss Burnham. It was tape-recorded inside the prison where no cameras are allowed. We hope that the film that was shot on several different occasions will give an added dimension to Angela's words. Now, with me in the studio are three people who were actively involved in publicizing the truth about Angela Davis's case and are working extensively in her behalf. Joe Walker, the New York editor of Mohammed Speaks, which published the exclusive interview in its entirety in the January 1st, 1971 issue. Margaret Burnham, one of the lawyers who's representing Angela. And Charlene Mitchell, a member of the New York Committee to Free Angela Davis and a former candidate for President of the United States on the Communist Party ticket. Miss Burnham, who is Angela Davis? Let's put it in perspective.
I think that Angela herself probably provides the best answer to that question. As she says on the tape that we will hear later on, she is, first and foremost, she's a black woman. She's a black woman who is also a communist, and I think it might be added that she's a highly intelligent and beautiful sister. But I think that even more important than that is the fact that Angela has dedicated herself, like as have so many black women nowadays, has dedicated her brilliance and her beauty to the struggle of her people. And I think that it's that fact that explains Angela's present predicament.
How old is she? She's 26?
She's 26 years old.
And the extent of her education?
She, as you know, she was a professor of philosophy at UCLA.
Yes.
She has completed her master's degree and was beginning work on her doctoral degree before the events which have resulted in her imprisonment.
Can you specify the charge was leveled against her?
Yes. As a result of the events on August 7th in Marin County, Angela is charged with murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy. Conspiracy to effect the release of the Soledad brothers, conspiracy to aid in the attempted release of the San Quentin inmates who were in the courtroom on August 7th, And conspiracy to commit the crimes of murder and kidnapping.
And it is punishable by death?
The charge of murder in California is punishable by death. The charge of kidnapping also carries with it a death penalty. If the jury finds Angela guilty of kidnapping, they must sentence her to death or to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole, so that we don't speak rhetorically at all when we say that we're talking about her life.
All right. Thank you very much. Now that you have Miss Angela Davis somewhat in perspective, let's listen to the interview.
First of all, many, many, many people wanted to know, why are you a communist?
Before anything else, I'm a black woman. And I've dedicated my life to the struggle for the liberation of black people by enslaved, imprisoned people. I am a communist because I'm convinced that the reason we have been forcibly compelled to eke out an existence at the very lowest level of American society has to do with the nature of capitalism. If we're going to rise out of our oppression, our poverty, if we're going to cease being the targets of the lynch mob mentality of racist policemen, we will have to destroy the American capitalist system. We will have to obliterate a system in which a few wealthy capitalists are guaranteed the privilege of becoming richer and richer, whereas the people who are forced to work for the rich, and especially black people, never take any significant step forward. I am a communist because I believe that black people, with whose labor and blood this country was built, have a right to a great deal of the wealth that has been hoarded in the hands of the Hughes, the Rockefellers, the Kennedys, the DuPonts, all the super powerful white capitalists of America. Further, I am a communist because I believe that black men should not be coerced into fighting a racist imperialist war in Southeast Asia, where the U.S. government is violently denying a non-white people the right to control their own lives, just as they violently suppressed us for hundreds of years. My decision to join the Che Lumumba Club, a militant all-black collective of the Communist Party, flowed directly from my belief that the only path of liberation for black people is the one which leads towards a complete and total overthrow of the capitalist class and all its various instruments of suppression. The Che Lumumba Club is concerned with the task of organizing black people around their immediate needs, but at the same time of creating an army of freedom fighters which will overthrow our enemies. We realize that in order to accomplish this latter goal, we must work in harmony with the progressive forces of white America who have seen the nature of the beast. We struggle for socialism, realizing that the historical nature of our oppression and our continued resistance have placed us as black people at the head of a revolution which must eventually involve not only our people, but great numbers of whites to crush the system and finally to build a socialist society free from racism, poverty, and injustice.
The second most frequently asked question concerns the question of your flight and your arrest here in New York. People ask, why didn't you use the Underground Railroad, like Robert Williams and Eldridge Cleaver and others, to escape the persecution being waged against you?
First of all, I'm sure that J. Edgar Hoover, in collusion with Nixon and Reagan, decided to make an example of me. The FBI unleashed an enormous amount of manpower in this search, much, much more than they can afford to use ordinarily. Because so much public attention was focused on me and my alleged participation in the events at San Rafael, they had to prove to their reactionary contingencies that they could capture black revolutionaries. Therefore, hundreds of women resembling me in black communities across the country were arrested. Not only were my family, friends, and political acquaintances kept under constant surveillance, but casual friends and acquaintances, some of whom I hadn't had any contact with for over a decade, were also under surveillance. Obviously, they intended to block all paths of escape. And we have to realize that I was taken by surprise. There was no way for me to have foreseen that I would be compelled to run for my life last August. Therefore, the entire flight had to be improvised. It was a difficult situation with my picture pasted up all over the country. And furthermore, the press
help the FBI by doing all kinds of articles and doing even cover stories on me. I didn't escape successfully, but we should remember this. There will continue to be frame-ups such as mine, and we will continue to be forced to hide. Just because they caught me doesn't mean that every one of us will be captured. They set all their running dogs on me. This they can afford to do only a few times over. We must refuse to allow them to strike terror among us, for this was obviously the intent of their actions. Furthermore, because of the intensified repression we are experiencing, we have to begin to talk about creating a viable apparatus to allow freedom fighters, black freedom fighters, sought for by the police, to remain in this country and to remain active in the black liberation struggle.
There's been much talk, Angela, that you're being used by the communists. Is it in any way possible that this is so?
Any vicious propaganda to the effect that I'm being used by communists can only have been initiated by the enemies of our struggle. There have been rumors that because the Communist Party has come to my defense, this means they are exploiting me, and further indicates that perhaps the party has something to do with my capture. Anyone who believes such flagrant lies has been terribly deceived by the Nixon-Reagan clique, for they are the ones who devise such underhanded methods of crushing our struggle. I'm a communist, a black woman communist. The corrupt government of this country could not accept such a combination. This is why they use the events at San Rafael to launch an effort to murder me. As a member of the Communist Party, it was incumbent upon the party to come to my defense. Furthermore, through me, the government is attempting to further attack and terrorize black people, as they have done in the case of George Jackson, Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, Erica Huggins, and I could go on and on and on. Therefore, black people have to begin to talk about rising up not only in the defense of political prisoners, but in their own defense.
Despite all that has fallen on you, Angela, do you still feel strongly about the black cause?
There's nothing, absolutely nothing, which could deter me from continuing to fight with all my energies for the freedom of my people. And there's no need for me to cry because I've been captured. But there's all the more reason to be strong and keep fighting. During the time I was participating in the efforts to free the Soledad brothers, I continually warned that any one of us could be set up as the next target of the government's policy of repression, of the repression of black revolutionaries. I'm in prison. But like Malcolm said, all black people, excepting a few who have betrayed us, are in prison. And like Huey said, they're maximum security jails and minimum security jails. The latter constitute the condition of the majority of black people, but many among us are locked up in the dungeons across the country. 95% of us here in the women's house of detention are black and Puerto Rican. I am with my people, and we are going to continue to fight inside the dungeon.
How can ordinary people help in your fight to gain your freedom?
Well, committees have been organized all across the country, in fact, throughout the world, to force the government to set me free. Demonstrations, petition campaigns, massive literature campaigns have already been developed. There's a whole host of activities in which people can involve themselves, and I would suggest that those who are interested should contact the Defense Committee in New York at 29 West 15th Street and Black Women for the Freedom of Angela Davis, an organization located at the Harlem YWCA. The National Committee Office is located in Los Angeles. But I think it is important to link up the struggle for my freedom with the fight to free other black political prisoners. My comrades, Erica Huggins, Bobby Seale, George Jackson and the Soledad brothers, and many others. And I maintain that the fight should call for the freedom of all black men and women, for few of us have received fair trials. We have certainly not been judged by juries from among our peers. Even if I am eventually allowed to leave the dungeon, I would not consider myself free. My freedom will become a reality when we, as a people, have destroyed our enemies, when we, black people,
have broken the yokes of our oppression and can freely erect a society which reflects our needs and our dreams. I will not be free until all black people are free.
Have you ever had any doubt since you became a communist about their ability to help black people?
The Communist Party recognizes that black people not only constitute the most oppressed collection of people in the United States, but also that we are the product of the most militant tradition of resistance within the confines of this country. Therefore, we as black people are the natural leaders of a revolution which must ultimately overthrow the American ruling class, thus freeing the masses of American people. Black people must free themselves. And we realize in our struggle that racism in this country is all pervasive. This we learned in the experiences we encountered during the civil rights era in which many well-meaning whites unconsciously perpetuated racism by taking the patronizing posture that they must, quote, help us, black people, which meant to assist us in the futile task of integrating ourselves into a dying culture. The Communist Party acknowledges the need for white people to accept the leadership of blacks, especially white workers. If they are to free themselves of their chains, they must realize that first and foremost, they must struggle against all manifestations of racism.
Most of the newspapers have all said that you fled California because you were guilty. Can you clear this up for us?
Well, let me ask this question. When a slave who managed to escape from the whips and the wheels of the white slave master fled to another state, was this evidence of his guilt? After Ronald Reagan and his fascist cohorts launched a campaign to fire me from my job at UCLA, not because there were any defects in my qualifications, but simply because I was black and a communist and devoted to the struggle for freedom of my people, how could I fail to realize that they were now determined to murder me? After all, they had already unleashed a tremendous reactionary sentiment against me simply around the question of my job. Hardly a day passed last year when I didn't receive a death threat in some form or another. As a result of Reagan's actions, I was constantly harassed by pigs patrolling our community. I fled because I was convinced that there was little likelihood that I would get justice in California. And I might add that the LA Times conducted a survey in the black community in Los Angeles and found that 80% of those questioned felt that I was correct in going into hiding. For to turn myself in would have been tantamount to delivering myself into the hands of my self-appointed executioners, the self-appointed executioners of black people in general.
If you must eventually stand trial in California, do you think you can get a fair trial?
The American judicial system is bankrupt. Insofar as black people are concerned, it has proved itself to be one more arm which assists in carrying out the systematic oppression of our people. We are the victims, not the recipients of justice. And it is obvious that democracy in America is hopelessly deteriorated when the courts, allegedly guardians of the rights of the people, have been enlisted to play an active role in the genocidal war against black people. We must reject the right of the courts to further oppress us. And the only way we can get justice is to demand it and to create a mass movement which will give notice to our enemy that we will use all means at our disposal to secure justice for our people. This is the only way we can expect to free all our brothers and sisters held captive in Americans' dungeons. And this is the only way we can expect to ultimately gain total liberation.
How is your morale holding up?
With all the beautiful sisters surrounding me and with all the sisters and brothers struggling in the streets, I cannot help but feel just as determined to keep on fighting as I was when I was captured. Each day I receive hundreds and hundreds of letters from sympathizers all over the world. The support I have been receiving has almost left me incredulous. Furthermore, the press failed to mention that when I embarked on the hunger strike to protest my solitary confinement here, many of the sisters, in a gesture of solidarity, joined in. Now, I've been in jail for 2 months. Huey was incarcerated for 2 years. Erica Huggins, whom I know personally and admire as one of this country's great black women, has been incarcerated for almost 2 years, as is Bobby Seale. And when I stop and try to reinvent all that George Jackson has endured over the last 11 years of his life, and has still emerged as a powerful, brilliant leader of his people. And when I think that Jonathan Jackson and many others have sacrificed their lives in our struggle, I am infused with all of the strength I need to carry on the fight.
Could you describe how you're being treated here at the Women's House of Detention?
This is a prison, and the atrocious conditions that characterize virtually every American prison are present in this place. Rather than start with the specific treatment I've been receiving, I would like to delineate the circumstances under which all of us are compelled to exist. First of all, the prison is filthy. It's infested with roaches and mice. Often we discover roaches cooked into our food, and not too long ago, a sister found a mouse tail in her soup. A few days ago, I was drinking a cup of coffee and was forced to spit out a roach. They literally cover the walls of our cells at night, crawling across our bodies while we sleep. Every night, we hear the screams of inmates who wake up to find mice scurrying across their bodies. I discovered one in bed with me last night, in fact. The medical conditions here are abominable. The doctors are racist. They're entirely insensitive to the needs of the women here. One sister who's housed in my corridor complained to the doctor not too long ago that she had terrible pains in her chest, after which the doctor suggested to her that she get a job without once examining her. It was later discovered that the sister had tumors in her breast and needed immediate hospital attention. This is indicative of the way we are treated here. We spend most of our time either in 5x9 cells with filth and concrete floors or outside on the bare corridors. We're not even allowed to place blankets on the floor where we must sit in order to protect ourselves from the filth and the cold. To talk a little bit about the library, they have a collection of adventure stories and romances which they have designated the library. It's important to realize that although the prison population is 95% black and Puerto Rican, I found only 5 or 6 books about black people, and literature in Spanish is extremely scarce. I could go on and on, but perhaps now I'll turn to the specific kinds of treatment I've been receiving myself. I'm convinced that the authorities in this place have been instructed to make life as difficult as possible for me, probably in order to convince me to stop fighting extradition. And, of course, after the courts overruled them and they were compelled to release me from solitary confinement and 24-hour guard, they had to seek other ways to assert their dominance. Unlike the other women who were being held for trial, I'm forced to wear institutional clothing. They say I'm a high security risk, and they want to make it difficult for me to escape. They refuse to permit my attorneys to give me legal material unless they first read it over, demonstrating that they have no respect whatsoever for the confidentiality which is supposed to exist between lawyer and client. I could continue to enumerate 100 little things that have been done in the hope of breaking me, but I continue to give notice to them that there is absolutely nothing they can do to break my determination to keep struggling. The only way they can accomplish this is by taking my life, and then they would have to face the wrath of the people. The same holds true for Erica, for Bobby, for George, and the Soledad brothers.
When you are freed, how will you continue to fight against the system which is oppressing us so badly?
I'll join together with all my brothers and sisters who are fighting in the streets to free all political prisoners, and to do everything in our power to fight for the total liberation of black people.
What is your relationship with other prisoners here at the Women's House of Detention?
I've never encountered such an overwhelmingly warm and cordial welcome. Obviously, the reason why the prison authorities isolated me was the enthusiastic welcome I received. Each time I go from one area of the jail to another, the sisters hold up their clenched fists and convey expressions of solidarity. While I was in solitary confinement, the sisters on the floor conducted demonstrations in my behalf, and when I embarked on the hunger strike, many of them joined in. After I was transferred into population, some of the sisters on my corridor, with whom I had spent a great deal of time, were helping me answer letters from the outside. They were all immediately transferred to another floor, but we still find ways to communicate with one another. I've already mentioned the state of the so-called library. After many requests and arguments, I was told that if books were sent directly from the publishing company, I could receive them. Now the authorities allow me to bring up
5 of these books at a time per week. The sisters are immensely interested in the reading material I receive, everything from George Jackson's prison letters to works by Lenin. The books circulate all over the floor and are the occasion for many a discussion, since the authorities have indicated that they are totally insensitive to the desires of the inmates. I would hope that brothers and sisters in the streets take it upon themselves to donate relevant literature to the library here.
What were your feelings when you first learned that you were on the FBI's 10 most wanted list?
I expect the Nixon-Reagan clique to resort to any measure to suppress their critics. And they're using all means in their power to eliminate revolutionary activity in this country. The FBI is rapidly becoming a force similar to the death squad in Brazil used to repress Brazilian freedom fighters. By placing me on the 10 most wanted list, by characterizing me as a dangerous, hardened criminal, they were setting me up either to be killed on the spot or to be legally murdered by Reagan's running dog.
Your supporters have called you a political prisoner. Many are confused about the meaning of this. Can you explain what it means?
More and more black people are being incarcerated not because they committed a crime, but because of their political beliefs and the activities they undertake to bring our people together to struggle for freedom. Counterfeit charges are invented. Outright frame-ups are increasingly becoming the rule. George Jackson was arrested 11 years ago at the age of 18 and convicted of stealing $70 from a gas station attendant. He was given an indeterminate sentence, wanted life. 1 year to life imprisonment. Because he evolved into a revolutionary and began to organize his fellow captives, he was denied parole year after year, and finally last year was framed up along with two other brothers, John Cluche and Fleeta Drumgo, who had demonstrated a deep concern for the destiny of our people. George Jackson, John Cluche, Fleeta Drumgo are political prisoners. Their real crime lies in being absolutely devoted to the liberation of black people. Bobby Seale is a political prisoner. Erica Huggins, Martin Soster is a political prisoner. I'm a political prisoner. The government intends to silence me, to prohibit me from further organizing my people, to prohibit me from exposing this corrupt, degenerate system by convicting me on the basis of a crime I had nothing to do with. Political prisoners are set up as examples to the rest of the people. George, John, and Fleeta were set up as examples to the rest of the Soledad population. Examples vividly spelling out the fate of any and every captive who followed in their footsteps. The same holds true for Erica, Bobby, the Soledad 7, Martin Soster, the Panther 21, and myself. The government intends to terrorize our people by railroading us into the electric chair, gas chamber, and into long prison terms. There's only one way political prisoners can be liberated. Millions of people must serve notice to the government that they intend to use every weapon at their disposal to secure the freedom of their captive warriors.
And that is the interview with 26-year-old Angela Yvonne Davis.